Your 40s. It's a decade that gets a lot less attention than some others, I think, and yet it's one where so much is happening in our lives. All week on The Takeaway, we've been looking at slices of this phase of life with our series called The Juggle, and you've been at the heart of it. Today, for the final piece in the series, we turn to family and relationships, and we've heard from you all about it.
The bulk of my 40s was learning to be a mom, be a wife, and all about how to take care of a child who had cognitive and physical disabilities.
I'm 43 years old and had my first baby at 40 and my second at 43. She's now 12 weeks. I wanted a career before I started a family. I'm engaged, but having children was a priority, so we will get married next. Life for me seems to be just beginning.
Raising children and trying to save the future, it feels like we're just barely treading water. It puts a strain on our relationship. Thank goodness we have great communication. But as costs increase and wages don't seem to match those increased costs, it becomes more and more difficult.
Thanks to you all for sharing your stories with us. And today we have writer Glynis McNichol with us in the studio to talk about her experience coming into her 40s and how it changed the relationships in her life, and also what she's learned from so many others about this decade. She's the author of No One Tells You This, a memoir. Glynis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your book is titled No One Tells You This. What is it that no one tells you?
So everything it felt like when I got to my 40s, it felt like I had been prepared for everything to be terrible, but not in the ways it was actually difficult. And nobody had prepared me for it to be wonderful, which I spent the first year when I turned 40 being so resentful about, that no one had said, wow, this could be great. Here's the things you should think about to deal with that. So I felt deeply unprepared on every level.
Turning 40 wasn't, that was actually great for me. It was everything after that. The year after, I was like, wait, what happened? I kind of felt the same way, that no one really tells you or really talks about this decade in particular other than the negative. One thing we often hear about when especially when I made the call out to people on Twitter, was 40s often means, and family often means kids, but that's not the case for everybody. Tell us about your experience.
So one of the things I really struggled with was I wasn't married and I didn't have children. And it just felt like I had completely fallen off the map of any narrative we have around, particularly women's lives. And the truth is, I sort of joke, somebody asked me to describe myself as child-free. And I was
I don't know about that word.
I know. I think we really have a dearth of language around this experience altogether. But I was writing back to them as I had my niece and nephews crawling over me, and I was organizing a baby shower for someone. And I thought, your relationships in your 40s become so intense and complicated and intricate. And I think in this generation, we are support systems for each other in ways that we haven't figured out how to talk about properly.
One of the things you've said when you're talking to one of our producers is that it's very difficult to operate when you're not seen by a culture. What does that mean?
I think without recognition, how do you know your place in the world? And how do other people value you when there's no ritual to celebrate your own life? I think invisibility on every level is the worst punishment. And how do you measure your own progress and your place in the world without it? And I find that I find that difficult, and I still struggle with that.
I think it's something that you brought up really, really interestingly, because a lot of it does have to do with where do you fit into these bigger themes of marriage if you're not married, mm-hmm. having children if you don't have children, and then being the dreaded 40-something, right? Mm-hmm. All of those things. I'm in the same position. Mm-hmm. All those things collide. And it does feel like we're not seen mm-hmm. by culture.
Even when you're exhausted by all the roles you're playing, of course, you're playing so many roles. And when you're not seen, there's no way to talk about how difficult it is. And there's no way to talk about how wonderful it is either.
Right.
Which is really, really difficult. We have celebrations for a reason. We have rituals for a reason. And when you have none, which is what happens after 40 without a wedding and without a baby, particularly for women, it's like, where am I going? What am I doing?
Let's talk about the things that, even if we don't have kids ourselves, how many roles we play in our 40s in other people's lives. Talk about that.
Well, I think in my experience, most of my friends have children, and most of my friends had children in their late 30s. Their family lives at some distance, which I think is becoming the norm. And what happens, and what has happened to me, is you become the support system, you become the fill-in, you become sort of the emergency childcare call. You are the person that goes and meets someone, they come home from the hospital, or changes the diapers, or whatever it happens to be. And I'm so grateful for that because I quite enjoy playing that role. What is difficult about it is when that role isn't seen. And I think women are struggling with this conversation of motherhood versus not motherhood. And mothers are overwhelmed for a variety of reasons that we could talk at length about. And there's this assumption of, oh, you have so much free time, or, oh, you get to do what you want. And I've encountered that in very intense situations where I was overwhelmed helping other people with their lives and dealing with this sort of dismissive nature of, oh, you don't do anything. And I just
because
think,
you don't have kids because you're not. Yeah, I find that that is a really frustrating point. Mm-hmm. Because I think that in my personal experience, it feels like when I say no, that's often not accepted because it's assumed that I have time. Mm-hmm. But if I said no, I have to do something for my kids, I think it would be taken differently. Do you agree?
Oh, my God. Of course. Of course. And I do think that comes back to, we really recognize women's value the most around motherhood. And so when we don't recognize any other version of a woman's life, we're so easily dismissive of how you're spending your time or the quality of your time or your right to your own time, really.
Let's talk about other types of relationships, romantic partnerships, which are just so easy at this stage. So, I mean, I feel like, tell me if I'm wrong here. I think that what happens at this age is that people will often stop introducing you as often as they may have prior, or you're getting filtered out of dating algorithms because your age cutoff is over 39. I mean, are these things, or you're the old lady cat spinster? Like, you know, why are we still stuck in these tropes? And is that wrong? I mean, is there this robust dating world out there for women and men in their 40s?
I think both. If that's, okay. I know that's okay. A frustrating answer.
I'll take it.
I find that when I want to date, there's certainly a world out there of people who are eager to date. I think it looks a lot different. Oftentimes you are dating people who are coming out of marriages, who have children, and that's a much different dynamic. I find that I quite like to be alone, which I think is a justifiable way to want to exist. It's funny, the further I get into my 40s, the less questions I am asked about, like, oh, don't worry, it'll still happen.
Is it because they don't care? I'm wondering if that's what it is.
I think it's a combination of, you sort of have moved off their relevance map, but it's also, so many of my friends, I think, I don't want to single out any friends, but like, at this age, many of your friends are in the deep end of their own marriages, and maybe they're coming out of those marriages, and those marriages are dissolving. And I find that I am a emotional support system to many people, and also increasingly an example of why it's not so scary. And so that's been my experience. And none of my friends, and I think if you're in the position where your friends are making you feel bad about your life, it's time to reassess those friendships. But none of my friends have ever spoken to me as if my life is less interesting or worthwhile or somehow missing. I think I am fortunate to have friendships that really value the way I live and value the place I have in their lives.
And also wondering whether or not you are hearing themes that emerge when I talk to friends that, because I have very close friends that are married, have kids, some that don't, but there seem to be similar themes throughout this decade. And I think caregiving in particular was one that seemed to span across everybody, particularly parents. Mm-hmm. You took care of your mother for a while. Tell me about that.
My mother was diagnosed with Parkinson's and then dementia, and her decline was very swift. And my sister has 3 small children at the time. And I ended up flying back and forth to Toronto, where my mother lived, to sort out care, to provide care, to navigate through the system of getting her the attention she needed, which is overwhelming for anyone who's done it. It's such a difficult, emotionally difficult place to be. And again, I think until we recognize the heavy lift that is, it's hard to provide support for the people in it. I was just overwhelmed for the year I turned 40, caretaking other people's lives and providing that support.
And off of that, another thing that came up on Twitter about this conversation was setting boundaries. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is about saying no. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that, particularly in your 40s.
I sometimes think by the time you're in your 40s, you've hopefully navigated like the physical nutrition and exercise that you need and what works for you. And in the same way, hopefully you're in a place where you know emotionally the exercise and nutrition and stuff you need. And that really entails understanding who, how many people you can have in your life, who you can have in your life, and how much you can do and provide other people, and then learning to say no and not feeling shame around it, I think, is the thing. And for women, that is just particularly hard. And as you noted earlier, when you aren't a parent, the expectation around your time is can be overwhelming, and the language around your life when you don't participate quickly slides into selfish or spoiled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That's unfair.
Let's end the segment. You, if you had to give a name to the decade and the relationships that define it, what do you call it?
I keep thinking this decade is the heroic decade, that you've spent those, if you go back to Joseph Campbell's hero's myth, you spend the decades up to me being sort of given the tools you need and the tasks you need, and this is where it all comes into play. It's such an intense decade where everything is coming at you. It's extraordinary, and the fact we don't talk about it in those terms really diminishes the experience. It feels to me really heroic.
I'm going to put on my super cape right now. Glynis McNichol is a writer and author of No One Tells You This, a memoir. Thank you so much, Glynis.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.